On Monday's front page, some large corporations are pushing for a tax holiday. That would let them bring offshore profits back home. We'll look at whether it would be any different from the last time there was that kind of tax break. We'll look at how the military is doing at getting Taliban fighters to switch sides. Western governments have pitched in with more than $140 million. And why the blockbuster stock market debut of LinkedIn is more than just the story of the latest Wall Street meteor. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says some of the nation's largest corporations want Congress and the Obama administration to give them a tax break. That would let them bring big offshore profits back home. Apple Computer has $12 billion waiting overseas. Google has $17 billion and Microsoft $29 billion. The so-called repatriation holiday proposal would cut the federal income tax on overseas profits from 35% to 5.25% for 1 year only. Corporations and their lobbyists say that would bring in enough money to revive the recovery. That's not how it worked the last time. In 2005, when Congress and the Bush administration cut the tax rate on foreign profits, some $312 billion came back to the U.S., but the nonpartisan National Bureau of Economic Research says there were no big increases in investment, jobs, or R&D. Most of the money went to dividends and stock buybacks. Very few Taliban fighters are taking up Afghanistan's offer to switch sides. Monday's front page says a Taliban commander named Tur Yan did. Now he wants 8 security guards because he's a target. Only 1,800 fighters have signed up for the government's biggest and best-financed peace program. That's only a fraction of the estimated 20,000 to 40,000 Taliban insurgents out there. On Sunday, Defense Secretary Robert Gates acknowledged the U.S. has begun preliminary reconciliation talks with members of the Taliban. He said he didn't think the talks will go anywhere. Monday's Times looks at how aerial drones are transforming the U.S. military. Predator drones can fire missiles into Pakistan and spy on insurgents in Afghanistan, but they're the size of small planes. The military is working on shrinking them to the size of birds, if not insects, and the Pentagon's chief weapons buyer says it's a growth market. That's not a contradiction. The Pentagon wants to spend $5 billion on drones next year. But drones raise questions about the disconnect between the public and the Pentagon. Military ethicists say drones make it easier for the U.S. to take on conflicts around the world. That's because drones are remotely controlled, so they don't put soldiers directly in the line of fire. Monday's Times takes a second look at the blockbuster stock market debut of LinkedIn. It showed how a small group of insiders is getting rich in the social networking bonanza. They're the bankers and lawyers who structure the deals, along with the employees who get in on the ground floor and the early investors. They take a cut at every twist in the road from Silicon Valley startup to Wall Street success story. So far this year, technology IPOs have generated nearly $330 million in fees for the biggest banks and brokerages. That's nearly 10 times the total from last year. On the presidential campaign, John Huntsman is set to run as an outsider with insider connections. Huntsman used to be President Obama's envoy to China. Now he's planning to run against his former boss. Huntsman is a former governor of Utah whose Mormon missionary work took him to Taiwan, where he became fluent in Mandarin Chinese. Obama aides are worried he could be a formidable opponent if, and they consider this a big if he can make it through a GOP nominating contest that's likely to be decided by conservatives who may consider Huntsman too moderate. Inside Monday's Times, Libya's government said NATO warplanes struck a residential neighborhood in the capital of Tripoli. Officials of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's government said 9 civilians were killed, including 2 children. NATO said one of its airstrikes went astray. NATO acknowledged another mistaken strike on Saturday. It said it hit a rebel convoy near the oil port of Brega. In this country, many cities are waiting for jobs to come back. A new report says it's going to be a long wait. It's going to take until the year 2020 for 50 metropolitan areas to get back all the jobs they lost in the recession. A few will have to wait longer than that. That word comes from the U.S. Conference of Mayors. The cities it looked at include Cleveland and Dayton, Ohio, along with Detroit and Atlantic City. Monday's Business Day section says Greece is looking for a financial lifeline. Prime Minister George Papandreou said Greece was in talks with lenders about a second financial rescue package. He said it would be roughly equal to last year's $157 billion bailout. Greece still hasn't gotten all of that money. European financial ministers met over the weekend to consider releasing about $17 billion from that first rescue package. What if you gave a $41 million party and no one came? A startup company called Color knows how that feels. Back in March, Color unveiled a photo-sharing cell phone app. Color also said it had raised $41 million from investors. The app landed with a thud, and that left some analysts worrying about a bubble in startup investing. They say venture capitalists are so desperate to be in on the next Facebook or LinkedIn that they're throwing money at startups. Keith Olbermann's new show starts Monday on Current TV. Monday's Business Day section says he set his sights on his old network, but few of his producers from MSNBC are joining him at Current TV. Now the challenge will be getting viewers. In most places, Current TV is on the high end of the channel lineup. Olbermann says early viewer totals will be low, but he says he's in this for the long haul. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.